discussing the relationship between art and science. I interviewed Randall Pike. He's a professor of mathematics here at Simon Fraser University, and he recently facilitated a public dialogue about the relationship between art and science. We talked about the social function of each, their influence on one another, and generally how two seemingly opposing communities of art and science actually complement one another in several ways. So here he is, Dr. Randall Pike. Well, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, much appreciated. So art and science, they're often viewed as competing institutions. But before the Renaissance, actually, when I was doing a bit of research, I discovered that they were actually united at one point. So intellectuals were often seen as people of knowledge and artistry. So how did the trend, do you think, of skill specialization during the Renaissance actually separate the two?
Science, you know, once the successes of Newtonian theory occurred...
And what is Newtonian theory, just so, for anybody who doesn't
right,
know?
Right, so Newton's theory of gravity, so late 16th century. Once that was understood and it was taken by the scientists of the day to begin to explain practically everything they could in the world, and they were quite successful, then this discipline kind of removed itself, I think, from what would have been considered an arts discipline and became a separate profession, distinct from the artists. And certainly, you know, the friction that arose between religious beliefs and the former views of the universe and how the workings went contributed probably to its separation as a discipline.
Yeah, it's funny to think as well, just the term, if you refer to somebody as a Renaissance man, he's a man of many
right.
skills.
Yeah.
So that is also, I guess, indicative of the fact that during the Renaissance, the artist and the scientist were more or less one and the same. Science and art use a lot of different language, and in many ways they have different worldviews that are seen in a binary. So why do people from both respective communities, the arts and the sciences, not to say they can't belong to both, but often one or the other, right? Mm-hmm. Why do they have sometimes trouble understanding one another?
I've noticed that there's a lot of common ground where both fields, they're trying to create something. There's creativity involved. There's technique involved. One has to learn technique. So that partially contributes to their separation, maybe, that so much effort has to go into learning the technique through study that you can't immerse yourself in both fields. That's maybe why there's probably no more Renaissance people, because it takes too much effort to become knowledgeable in any one of those areas. But there's plenty of people that straddle both disciplines. They may be professions in one or the other, but certainly spend significant amounts of time and effort in the other. Your question originally was, why is there such a gap nowadays? And I would say that we've covered partially that reason, that the disciplines are so deep now that you need time to become knowledgeable in one or the other. But I wouldn't say that's universal by any means. But there's many people that I know from mathematics and from science who or professions in that area that are very interested in arts and very curious about what's going on in the arts community, and then have a real deep appreciation for the arts, like a lot of people can. That being said, the scientists are at a disadvantage because their work is not as easily appreciated by the general public.
It does take a special knowledge from the layperson to be able to appreciate some
right.
of the information or studies and research that is being performed, as opposed to, you know, anybody can go into a museum and without understanding maybe the motivation behind a piece of art, they can still enjoy it.
Sure, they can, just by looking at it, yeah, or listening to it. It's practically impossible, say, to get an appreciation of what Einstein did, say, in general relativity, without some sense of the history of Newton theory of gravity and all these issues that came up, then it really hits home.
Yeah, the actual understanding the process of building a theory based on research that has taken hundreds of years to accumulate, or artistic evolution that's taken decades or hundreds of years, and then is inspiration for maybe a
yeah.
new form of artwork
yeah.
as well.
That's a good point. That came up in the cafe, too, this notion of development, and certainly that's a clear theme in science. Science develops on previous theories and such things. But and that was brought up, is art doing the same thing? Is art, can you think of art as developing, evolving, progressing? And many people didn't see that art being considered that way.
I think when people conceptualize art, they see art in some ways easier to categorize. Like, this is this type of art, this is abstract art, this is modernist art, this is cubist. Where with science, science sort of builds slowly and gradually upon previous studies. Where with, I think, and there is that building and development process built into art as well, but I don't think the general public see it like that. They see categories of different styles of art that are exclusive from one another.
Yeah, that doesn't occur in science typically because it's a community event and there's sort of universal norms and such, whereas in art, sometimes it's often a requirement of interesting art to be novel and break away from the past, where in science that's there's a great tendency not to do that, to try to attach yourself as best you can to previous theories. But of course, all the great earthquakes in science were breakaways from the previous ways of thinking. It's just difficult. It's not the standard.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. A scientist would be seen, his theory might be seen as less credible the more radical it is.
Yeah.
But an artist, the exact opposite. The more radical their artwork is, the more credible they
are. Valuable.
So that's funny that binary exists. You were mentioning that you are a mathematician.
That's right.
So, do you see any innate artistic merit in mathematics? So maybe a feeling of balance and harmony in math that people feel in traditional forms of art. Because I remember being in high school, learning algebra, different forms of math, or even calculus in university. The feeling that you get when you complete a very complex problem, and you see that the perfect balance of the equation work out after maybe a long struggle with trying to find the solution.
Like it's the right way it should be. Everything fits into place. Certainly there's plenty of room for creativity and aesthetics in mathematics. Although it's a highly technical subject, it would be pretty cold and lifeless and probably uninteresting to many mathematicians if there wasn't the room for that creative aspect in it, the human aspect. And then exactly pinning that down, though, might be a little bit tricky, but it's interesting to talk to mathematicians about this, what makes them feel satisfied. But I think what you mentioned, that satisfaction of a kind of understanding, fitting into place, a meshing of many different ideas into one coherent structure is a satisfying one, that is a kind of beauty.
A large part of our market economy is driven by technological innovation. It has a very large and quantifiable monetary value. Does a technology's ability to generate wealth more easily than art influence its perceived social value? Art's day-to-day use value is a little bit harder to describe because you can't really quantify the feeling of joy that you get by either listening to a song or you know, going to a museum and looking at a beautiful piece of art. That sort of quantifiable variable doesn't exist in the arts.
That's one difference between science and art for sure, is the science, at least on the surface, is objective. Art is very subjective. And so science, at least the way it's developed historically, is made a real strong effort to ignore the human aspect, to ignore us, whereas art, you can't do that. So, you know, we're humans, we need that subjective satisfaction that art gives us, and gives us some information about the world and why we're alive and such things, where science doesn't address that issue.
Both art and science are a means to discovery, whether internal or external, and we were just speaking to this, but empirical science attempts to find truth using objective analysis, and art tries to find a similar truth through subjective analysis as well. So what other aspects of art and science do you see having an overlap?
Yeah, that's a very good point, because that was something that we did discuss in the cafe. A preamble to that was someone mentioned, we were trying to make a distinction between art and science because of this historical event where science and art kind of separated.
Were you able to make the distinction?
Well, someone proposed the distinction. Yeah. He said that, well, science is concerned more with the act of discovery, whereas art is concerned more with the act of creation. Okay? And then we sat down, we thought about that, and then several people said, well, I really don't see why art is not a discovery also.
You know,
but like you said, a subjective discovery. And I feel the same way. It's hard to imagine for anybody, I think, a piece of art that has moved them that didn't help them learn something, discover mm-hmm. something. Certainly that's a mandate of science, but I'm not sure if that's the only mandate. So your question was, is there other areas where they overlap? There's a technique involved. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when a composer sits down and starts to create a work, they're using some tools, some techniques, some structure they've learned through their training. And a painter too, they have to learn how to use the paint or how to use the materials, whatever they're using. And that takes time. And that's very much present in the sciences and mathematics in particular.
Ironically enough, the Greek word for art is techne, which is actually the English word for technique or technology. So it's weird that the actual origin of the word is more or less technology and art the same word. A lot of people think that the more technology that is involved when making music, somehow the less authentic that music becomes, or that piece of art becomes. So, for example, on the higher key of art, I would say arguably photography in most people's mind probably falls lower than somebody painting a picture. Like a folk musician would probably have more musical credibility in a lot of artistic circles than maybe an electronic musician, at least in the initial stages of these art forms, photography or electronic music. Because an art form is connected to technology in some senses, do you think that jeopardizes its credibility in some people's eyes? And is that valid? Is that a valid point?
I'd say it is. You're borrowing techniques that give you kind of head start, maybe. But it's still devoid of this aesthetic or subjective.
The human skill.
Yeah, it's not there, right? So you have to put some effort into fishing that out and making it more complete in that respect. So I can, I would feel that way too, that someone borrowing technical material.
Using a technical crutch.
Right, and creating some sort of art has to do a fair bit of work, I think, before it's credible.
It's funny, over time, while these technological tools for the creation of art can be used as a crutch, but it can also be used to as an extension of the self and actually allow the person, the artist, to create something that they would not otherwise have been able to bring out of their mind or their soul, right?
Exactly, yeah. I think these multimedia events where you have visual images plus music are extremely powerful. Can move you in ways that nobody could do with just a single guitar, say, or singing songs. So the using technology to enhance the message or the experience, I think, is extremely valid and very interesting, exciting, I think.
What do you think the social function of both art and science is?
Art is, being more subjectively based, is probably the most ancient one, whereas science probably motivated originally through technology as a way to manipulate the environment to aid our survival. Right? But also it's helping us to live longer, live better. We're a human being, a social creature, and there's much more to our lives than just being able to survive. There's these deeper questions of meaning, which we don't get from science on the surface. But art addresses those questions, those longings that we have as a human, which is like we've mentioned before, is not built into science. And it'd be interesting to think about if we ever met some aliens. Is there a science that has this meaning built into it, you know, from the beginning.
Yeah.
Could there be a science like that?
Yeah, interesting, interesting too. Both science and art are forms of communication as well, so through time and space. So somebody who produces a piece of music from the 50s, or mm-hmm. let's say a Beatles song from the 60s, there is a message being communicated, a feeling being communicated, a sentiment of maybe the culture at the time that's mm-hmm. being communicated. And with science, in a more literal sense, creation of communication technologies, they're both communication tools in a sense.
Even writing, right, is a technical skill. I mean,
yeah.
we can read the dialogues of Plato because someone had written them down at some point. And the ancient prehistoric sketchings on caves, you know, we get some sense of what the people there were feeling or thinking about.
One of the earliest technologies was the written word.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
the word, the letter, is a technology. I found that baffling just because it seems so disconnected from science. And when I think of technology, I think of machinery.
Mm-hmm.
Anything the written word to me is an art form,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
poetry, prose. But it is, in fact, a technology.
Same with talking. If you think about it, just the fact, you know, language, elucidating our ideas, passing them on to other people, communicating ideas to other people, extremely subtle and sophisticated technology going on there.
The English painter Patrick Heron, he argued that art determines the way we see the world.
Hmm.
If art influences our perception,
mm-hmm.
then it's having an effect on our consciousness, which would then ultimately affect scientific theory that mm-hmm. That we develop.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, that's it's an interesting time period, the turn of the 20th century, 1900. You can go and compile great movements in philosophy, in paintings, in music, and physics and mathematics, and all these things were happening simultaneously. You know, great revolutions in all these fields.
But they don't exist in a vacuum, right?
That's correct. Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So, you know, the great discoveries during the Renaissance, there was also the great discoveries of the humanities, in terms of science and the humanities. Yeah. So certainly, if you read, you know, those physicists at the time, Einstein, Bohr, Lorentz, Mach, you know, they're very much more philosophical than scientists nowadays. They're much more aware of what was going on in philosophy, in ideas, and in arts than scientists typically are nowadays.
Then they use that to dictate scientific theory?
Well,
like an indicator, maybe?
They didn't admit that, but I think philosophy is a little more tangible as a guide to scientific thoughts and concepts. I think philosophy is more structured. The other arts, say music and say the visual arts, I'm not sure about that. But you know, something's in the air when people are experimenting and trying new things, new ideas in the arts. You know, something's in the air.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, scientists are part of that intellectual community. They sense that.
Art and science are both forms of therapy in a way. I think mm-hmm. science is a social therapy in a way, and art is more of an individual therapy. So art helps people understand themselves in relation to the world,
mm-hmm.
And science. So whether it's you know, using DNA analysis to convict a murderer or to
mm-hmm.
to solve some kind of logistical problem,
mm-hmm.
that mm-hmm. balance, that homeostasis is sort of achieved through either one. So
certainly, yeah, science gives us great satisfaction. I think we're almost afraid of the unknown, and science, I think that was one of the real motivators of the development of classical science was our need, our urge to feel comfortable in the world by understanding it. We don't feel comfortable unless we can understand it. So it's given us real satisfaction that way. And as you mentioned, in art, you know, it refers to deep questions, existential questions, or sociological questions. It gives us some way to understand those, to reach some sort of conclusions. But I really think science is based on that need to understand for some reason. When you start talking about science, is it describing the world or explaining the world? You know, I think explaining is more along those lines, you know, to satisfy that urge. But a large part of it is just describing the world.
Yeah, and I think the ultimate purpose of doing that, trying to describe the world or discover the unknown, is more or less to be able to apply that knowledge internally to understand the individual's purpose or the human purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be. You can't separate the person, although, you know, art is dealing with the subject primarily.
It's more obviously attached.
Right, but yeah. In science, ostensibly it's not, but you can't separate it. There's that need, that urge to satisfy those needs in us.
Yeah, like a lot of science, the actual process is quote-unquote objective and empirical, but the reasons for doing that science are actually very subjective, which I think is often left out of the conversation a little bit. You know, it's not a part of the scientific process, it's something that I think is always there, but sort of invisible, that people have motivations for the actual science that they're discovering.
It's not a premise in the scientific method, but you can't ignore it, because that's the person who's doing the science. Science has begun to hit a dead end, so to speak, that it can't answer every possible question. And that wasn't true, say, 100, 200 years ago, because there were so many questions, and they were having great success stories in celestial mechanics and thermodynamics and quantum mechanics, all this sort of stuff. But now, in the last 50 years, scientists have realized that, with their theories, they still yet cannot explain why the universe is the way it is, and why certain features are the way they are, the size of the electron, the charge, and that sort of stuff. They can't do that, and it doesn't appear to be any way science can answer those questions. So what's arisen is an idea called the anthropic principle, which simply states that the universe has those features simply because we're here. Okay, not about science, right, but about, finally, it's us now. So science now has to admit that, there's people, we're important, we play a role in this whole process. Doesn't seem to be any other way to explain those particular features of the universe except the fact that it's because we're here. When they get come to the question, can you explain why the universe is this way and not another way? There's no explanation. So science cannot explain that. The fact that we're here is an explanation. So now you bring into that realm of science, right, which is very objective, you bring into that realm this very subjective essential feature that
I think that's where art actually comes in, when science meets that dead end where it can't go any further and it stagnates a little bit. Then that's when the more subjective conversation starts, and art starts to try and play a role in the explanation of the things that science cannot explain.
Right. Yeah. I can't imagine someone who bases their whole lives, life on scientific explanation and a scientific methodology. I mean, there's many, many things that won't be answerable that way.
I think a lot of people know that technology, technological innovation, aids people in creating art, like it's obvious. But I think people have a harder time seeing how art aids scientific discovery, and that's sort of a big part of the conversation that we've been having today. Mm-hmm. So how do you think art impacts science? I know we touched on this briefly and sporadically throughout this interview, but just to sort of bring it together.
If we talk about this sense of beauty and symmetry and balance, artistic qualities, that's a guiding principle in a lot of science research, I'd say. Yeah, certainly imagination is essential.